technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
At our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Empowering and promoting women in business is an absolute priority in the Trump administration because I know how crucial women are as job creators, role models, and leaders.
President Trump meeting with women business leaders at the White House, praising women who have gone above and beyond to build their companies.
You all have incredible stories. Many of you started businesses from scratch with very, very limited resources, but you had the grit and the determination to make your dreams become a reality.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee says that the Republican health care plan failed in part because it didn't address Obamacare's biggest flaw.
It didn't deal with the most fundamental flaw in Obamacare, the part of Obamacare that has made health care unacceptable and unaffordable. until we get a bill that actually brings down the cost of health care for hardworking Americans, we're not going to get something that passes.
USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher is turning the pages of a large black book with the images of the great empires of history. He begins to open up the Chaldean mystery, the ancient law from Genesis 12 that's determined world history for 4,000 years. Second millennium BC, the great Egyptian empire turns against the children of Israel. The empire suddenly collapses and never rises again. It's the late 1930s. The great British empire turns against the Jewish people in their hour of need. The British Empire suddenly collapses to virtually nothing. After that, it's America that's most blessed the Jewish people in Israel. And what nation of modern times has been the most blessed nation on earth? What does it tell you? God is real. You can depend on him. His word is true. His promises are sure. And before his faithfulness, the kingdoms of this world are nothing.
That was just a taste of the Book of Mysteries. Now available online and wherever books are sold. And at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
I understand we collect U.S. citizens, but we don't read about those U.S. citizens on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. That, in addition to threatening these surveillance programs, is also a felony.
South Carolina Representative Trey Gowdy calling out Democrats for attempting to distort the truth of the situation regarding the collection of information on Americans by the NSA, the CIA, and other organizations. Gowdy also called out the Democrats for trying to make a big deal about the House Intelligence Chair talking to the president.
My understanding is Chairman Nunes briefed the commander-in-chief on matters unrelated to the Russia investigation. So if that's a big deal in Washington, then we've sunk to a new low.
Cincinnati's police chief says he is confident there will be arrests in a mass shooting at a nightclub. The shooting happened early yesterday morning at the Cameo nightclub. One person was killed. At least 15 others were injured. Police say it was connected to a dispute between two men. USA Radio News.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa, international relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering. Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to FacingDarknessMovie.com. That's FacingDarknessMovie.com.
The search is on for a pair of missing Arizona brothers, including one that's autistic. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The two were reported missing a week ago. Christian Tackett is 16 years old and Josiah Stevens is 17. They were last seen near the corner of 13th Place and East Polk Street in the Garfield Historic District. Tackett is autistic and was wearing a gray shirt with the words Gone Wild and jeans with a hole in the left leg. Stevens has a large scar on the side of his head and a crooked front tooth. The brothers have reportedly run away in the past, but they've always returned home safe. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
Iraq's leader said he's very pleased with the Trump administration and their commitment to taking out ISIS. Here's Chris Barnes.
Iraq's leader saying he is pleased at the commitment he is seeing from the United States and the Trump administration to continue backing his nation as it moves to finally eliminate ISIS once and for all.
We are concentrating on training, logistical support, and intelligence cooperation and gathering.
Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, speaking on Fox News Sunday, did concede that the success that's been seen in the Middle East at killing off ISIS is spawning terrorist attacks in the rest of the world.
So the only way forward is to kill their hope, just to finish them.
I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner will reportedly testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee about alleged links between the Trump presidential campaign and Russia. Kushner reportedly volunteered to testify. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-9000. 1-800-273-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. The weather this afternoon is a slight chance of showers, and it's going to be cloudy with a high near 58, southwest winds around 7 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 20%. Tonight, chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., patchy fog after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 47. There'll be light and variable winds. The chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 3 p.m., patchy fog, otherwise cloudy with a high near 62. Light east winds, chance of chance of precipitation is 70%, and the new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch is possible. Tuesday night, showers likely, mainly before 3 a.m. The rain could be heavy at times, patchy fog before 3 a.m., otherwise, it's going to be cloudy with a low around 45. Calm winds becoming northeast 5 to 9 miles an hour in the evening. The chance of precipitation is 70% again. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. There you go. North winds 10 to 13 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 33. And Thursday, sunny with a high near 56. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy. And we won't go that far ahead because we can't tell what they're going to do tomorrow with it. But anyway, that's the weather, and we shall be back in just a second.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and I'm very privileged today to have with me two very good-looking young women. And what are you laughing for? I'm serious. I'm
really
not
kidding.
Really
appreciate the young part. Thank you.
That's why the guest I had on the show before this, he kept saying, well, older adults from 60, 70, and I'm going, well, wait a minute now. Let's calm down a minute here. Anyway, we have with us Amanda Medina Forrester.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And you're with the Hunterdon and Mercer County Regional Chronic Disease Coalition Coordinator, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's a title and a half.
Yes.
You'll have to explain that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And we also have, I'm going to kill it, Rose Pooley.
Correct.
Hey,
very
all right.
Good.
Hunterdon Healthcare Partners Population Health Director.
That's correct.
You're going to have to explain that to me, too. All right, Amanda, we're going to start with you. You got a title that's 15 words long.
Yeah, I could definitely simplify it. So
okay.
I work at the Cancer Center, the Hunterdon Regional Cancer Center, and we have a grant from the Department of Health that is to fund a coalition. And so my coalition is made up of different partners from both counties, Hunterdon and Mercer. And these partners are community members, businesses, healthcare, partners, and from all walks of life that come together to work on different projects to prevent cancer is one of our main focuses. And so to kind of keep it all in this family, we had to use both counties, Hunterdon and Mercer, and it's to reduce and prevent chronic disease.
Well, Mercer is definitely a lot larger than Hunterdon.
It's more dense, It's
yeah,
more densely populated.
Populated, right.
It is.
And you would think that, obviously, I mean, I'm not much for statistics, but because I think you can make them say whatever you want. But, if you got more population, your chances are having more
of course
illness, obviously.
Right. They have different Mm-hmm. Priorities, different
right.
illnesses.
Exactly, uh-huh. Right. Rose.
Yes.
You're with the 100 Healthcare Partners Population Health Director.
That's correct.
What all does that mean?
That means that I look at, so I support our entire integrated delivery system, so all our outpatient sites. So when you go to the doctor for as a primary care physician or you go to a specialist, I look at that data and I look at that data in terms of how our populations of people are doing in terms of health and wellness. So what I always tell people to think about, if you could, which would you rather do? Would you help the one person standing in front of you if you had the choice, or would you help 100 people that you can't see?
That's a tough decision.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough decision.
I mean, I would guess that the right answer, if there is such a thing as a right answer, would be the 100 people that you can't see. Of course, that person standing in front of you wants to be helped. So
that's correct. You know. And in healthcare, we tend to do the person right in front of us because they're in pain or they're sick mm-hmm. or I have a fever. You know, take right. care of me now. And that's how we focus. And my job is to help us focus on the 100 people that are our patients that we're not seeing necessarily right in front of us that moment in time. So to look, how are all our diabetics doing in terms of managing their disease? How many people are we screening for colorectal cancer? How many people are we screening for mammograms? Are using mammograms to screen for breast cancer? Mm-hmm. How are we managing hypertension and all the patients that we have hypertension? So I look, I'm always aware of how we're doing with those people that we're not necessarily seeing that moment, that time right in front of us in healthcare.
I ask this probably 99% of the time of guests. How did you get involved in all this? Amanda, let's start with you. How did you become where you're at?
My degree in public health. I studied public health, and okay. Specifically in the cancer field. So that brought me here, and then I got to meet people like, you know, Dr. Pulley. She's my chair of my colorectal work group, and so she spearheads a lot of our initiatives. And so I think my job, what I do, you know, just continues mm-hmm. to, you know,
grow,
and I learned so much from my partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started out in basic research, so I have a longer path. I'm the older person of the two of us, so I have a little longer history here and there. But I started out in basic research, wanting to be a basic research scientist, and I did research for many years, and then I had twins. And I had 3 children under the age of 4, and I had to make, and they were preterm. So I had to make the decision. I stepped out of my career, and when I got a chance to step back in, I went into public health. I got a position in public health, kind of an unusual position supporting a new collaborative venture at Rutgers, and looking at, it was when West Nile virus first hit. Mm-hmm. So I was involved with mosquito control and wow. looking at their information and their data okay. when West Nile virus hit, because I had unique skills then that related to my basic research. And from there, I was hired by the state of New Jersey for their emergency preparedness group and helped work on the bioterrorism laboratory that the state has. And then I came out here to Hunterdon when they started a preparedness program here, mostly a lot to be close to my family, my children when they were busy in high school, and to be mm-hmm. an active mom and career person. And then ended up at Hunterdon Medical Center with population health. So I have this kind of combination of basic research, laboratory science, public health, and now population health. So it's kind of just turned out to be a good combination of skills to do this particular job. So I'm really thrilled with it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. My case was I had 4 kids, a mortgage, car payments, real estate taxes. I needed a job, and I went to the job, you know. It worked out well for about 17 years anyway. But yeah, you know, and that's the truth. You know? Mm-hmm. But the reason I ask those questions is because, you know, somebody will say, oh, something happened when I was, you know, 15 or mm-hmm. 16 and I, you know, wanted to do this. So I went on and did it. And others will say, like me, I had a wife, a kid, mortgage, you know, whatever. And I needed a job and, you know, that's how I got here. But, you know, I think that if you like what you're doing, regardless of what it is, you can drive a truck if you happen to be happy doing it, you know, and mm-hmm. can meet your bills and stuff, then hey, knock yourself out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, by helping people like you do, and you know, I do, I'm highly involved with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And so, you know, I, you know, give speeches and teach classes and run support groups and stuff like that. But if it helps people, mm-hmm. you know, and I, you know, people say, well, gee, you look like you're working harder now than when you worked. I said, well, when I worked, I was a boss. I had all these people under me. I go, you do this and you do that, and, you know, that sort of thing. But here, I look at my wife and she laughs at me. You know? So, you know, but I feel that if I can help one person, and I'm mm-hmm. sure that's how a lot of how you feel, if you can help one person, then it makes it all worthwhile, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and then if we can impact policies or procedures or workflows that can help 100 people or 1,000 right. people or 10,000 people, right. you can see. I've always liked studying things that people don't necessarily see. When I did research on viruses. So it's hard to convince a person that a virus exists and is making you ill. That was a problem in history. What is making us ill? We ascribed right. it to all kinds of things right. going on right. until we yeah. discovered, you know, what the germs actually were. In population health, we're trying to look at data to see, what are we missing? You know, what are mm-hmm. we missing here? What can we do better?
I'm probably going to kill this word again, but you'll help me, I know, girls. What is colorectal, is it?
Colorectal.
I'll get it they, right.
Very, that was very close.
Yeah,
really,
I was close.
You really got it. You really did.
Colorectal cancer.
Cancer.
And March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
But could you describe what that is?
So colorectal cancer is a cancer that starts in either the colon or the rectum. So that's why it's interchanged, colon okay. or rectum. And then we just put it together, colorectal.
Okay.
And so it starts there. It also, it depends on where it starts, and it's always grouped together. So just like cancer starts, you know, just with cells, and they, mm-hmm. the cells start to, of course, you know, multiply rapidly, and they can't be controlled, and so they develop into a tumor, cyst, or something, and it becomes cancerous.
Is that like polyps?
So, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, for in the colon, you get polyps, and so these polyps could become cancerous. Not always 100%, but they right. could become cancerous.
Right.
And so this is why colorectal cancer awareness is so important, because it is a preventable cancer. They could go in and remove those polyps.
Yeah, they have on many occasions.
Have they really?
Yes, they have. Yeah. One time was 10. None of them were, you know, cancerous, but, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just, and, you know, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen this commercial that's on where they're, you know, a guy's sitting there, another guy comes over, what are you doing here today? Oh, he says, I got it, you know, and they talk about screening for colon cancer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What kind of screening is there for it? You know, like, to me, you have to go in and you got to take this lousy stuff for 24 hours and, you know, and sit for 12 hours on a toilet and, you know, and then you go in and get these tubes and everything and, you know, heaven forbid. But mm-hmm. but seriously, you know, like, and they say, what is the screening for it? I mean, how do you screen for it?
There are several tests that you can do to screen for colorectal cancer. And the one you're describing is the gold standard called colonoscopy.
Right.
And that's the one where you basically take a prep. Some of them are, you know, it's not exactly...
They're horrible.
Yeah.
but they serve a good purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're basically you're cleansing your bowel
right.
so that
right.
when the doctor puts a scope into it to look at it, he can tell if there are polyps
right.
there or not.
Right.
And actually during the procedure, they remove polyps, and the polyps are precancerous. So they're actually preventing cancer from happening when they do a colonoscopy.
Right.
And for a person of average risk, you only need one of those colonoscopy procedures every 10 years, mm-hmm. starting at the age of 50 up to the age of 75. So, you know, it's the best thing to do because it actually prevents cancer.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got to ask, why would you stop at age 75?
Because the scientific evidence doesn't support. By the time if you've reached 75 and you haven't developed colon cancer, what our data tells us, looking at years and years of data and scientific evidence, that your chances of developing colon cancer after that age, if you haven't developed it between those two that mm-hmm. time period from 50, is very, very low.
Okay.
So there's a point of time where the potential and the issues with this procedure is very, very low, but it's still low. And as you age, there can be issues with, you know, preps that you take and things things that can happen to you as you age. We all age. I'm aging. It's going to happen to all of us. Trust me. All going to age. We're all going to face these aging issues.
You don't know that yet.
Yeah, so
Amanda, you're in still good shape. You don't know that yet. But, you know.
All these screening tests, we look at the potential hazards versus the risk and the benefits. Right. So that ratio changes as you age. So there's going to maximum age where you look at for a screening test to be effective. And right now the scientific evidence supports between 50 and 75. It doesn't mean that you won't develop cancer at some point in time after that. And you can continue depending on your doctors and your folks. Right. So if you have any symptoms, if you have blood, and you know, then yes, you need to get a test and your doctor would recommend it. So it doesn't mean you can't be screened after that age. That's between you and your doctor. And if you have high risk factors, then your doctor and you can make a decision about how to do that.
Yeah, ironically, this week I have to make an appointment for it.
So. Oh, good. Make your appointment. Good. Yeah,
no, I have to. I just, you know. But ironically, it's this week, and then we're talking about it here, you know.
Yeah, and then there are other tests. You can also do other tests. So colonoscopy, it requires a little bit of time. And as you said, it requires a prep. And that's what we really recommend, you go for colonoscopy, because you can prevent cancer. It is the best test.
And you know,
but if you can't, you know, I just can't do that. I can't take a day off from work. That's one of the barriers we hear about. I just cannot take a day or half a day off from work to do this, although we do have appointments available on Saturdays at some of our doctors. There's a stool test called a FIT test or a fecal occult blood test that you can do. So there are other things that you can take home and take a sample and then bring it back.
Right.
And they can test it either in the doctor's office or you send it to a laboratory. Right. And then those will say, oh, if it detects blood in your stool or DNA of a cancer, depending on the test you do, then you would be scheduled for a colonoscopy. That's a good indication. So that's a test you do on an annual basis. Or there's one out there on a 3-year basis. So there are other ones that are less invasive, let's say, but they're not, you know, they're not as good as colonoscopy.
They're not as good,
They are not as good as colonoscopy. So that once every 10-year procedure for the average risk, you know, like I tell people, it's your chance to get a really good nap. Once every 10 years.
It removes the polyps, just like you said. It's preventing precancerous cells.
Sure.
And it's... colorectal cancer is so common.
And you know, the first time that they took the polyps out of me, it was, I don't know, 4 or 5. And the next time, or the couple times after, they 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever, then they wound up with 10, you know. But they were all non-cancerous, but
that's great.
But they still had 10 there, which could have become, I would assume, cancerous.
You
know.
And if you have polyps, they may recommend that you go a little more frequently. Like instead of every 10 years, you should go every 5 years, or even every 3 years if you've had.
Every 2 years.
They're taking care of you then.
And that increases your risk factor. But it's important that people are like, oh, I don't want to know. But yes, you do.
Yeah,
you
I do.
You can save your life.
Oh, yeah.
It will save your life. It will make it available. You know, so you want to be able to see your grandchildren. You want to go fishing. You want to go hunting. You want to go to the next party. You want to have reunions. All those things you want to do. And
I just
the time
don't
want to
die yet.
That's
I'm just not ready for that yet. You know, I know it's coming and it will one day, but I'm not ready for it yet. You know,
you're too much fun. So you got to,
you know.
Those few hours are a little thing to do for your health.
And basically, what is the cancer in colon? I mean, you know, what is it? Is it different than cancer in, you know, your lungs? Or is it similar? Or is it the same? Or is cancer is cancer? Or
cancer in general is uncontrolled cell growth. Right, yeah. And those cells can be different depending on where they originate in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So the bad or very invasive cancer is one where it spreads beyond the original site. So with cancer, you want to detect it as early as possible. So that's why we recommend screening for breast cancer and screening for colorectal cancer, because the earlier you find it, the more likely it hasn't moved to another location in your body. And it's when cancer spreads and becomes more invasive, no matter what the cell origin is, it does more damage and is harder to get rid of. So while cancer treatments have improved tremendously, one of the good news that we'd like to share in March is the rates of colon cancer deaths are going down tremendously.
Yes.
The increase in screening, people getting their screenings, that has made a big difference in the number of people who will not die and have not died from colorectal cancer. So cancer is uncontrolled cell growth. If that cell growth can be contained early, and if those cells can be removed or treated with chemotherapy or radiation early and killed, right. What immunotherapy now are mm-hmm. very good for many cancers. If that can be done very early on at an early stage, then it doesn't spread to other parts of the body. And it's right. when cancer spreads or goes to a vital function in your system, yeah. that's mm-hmm. when you have the mortality associated with it. That's the good news, is cancer treatments are getting better, but the earlier you detect it. And when colonoscopy, if you detect colon cancer at a very early stage, the recovery is 90%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So wow. even that if you're high. Diagnosed early, yeah. 90%.
That is awful high.
Okay.
Yeah. That is a high rate, I would
90%
think.
90% treatable.
Wow.
So that's very, very good odds for you if you take a few steps to do colorectal cancer right. screening on a routine right. basis.
Are men the only ones who get this?
No, it's actually, it's equal, men and women.
Equal.
It's, actually, there's men, 1 in 22 men will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and 1 out of 24 women will be diagnosed. It's a very common.
22 men? Yeah. And 1 out of 24 women.
So men are a little pretty, slightly, yeah, men are a little slightly higher, but
that's still.
Mm-hmm. But
pretty
it's
close.
Still very close. Yeah. You know, it doesn't discriminate. You know,
it, no,
hits,
right.
it hits every race, ethnicity.
Right.
You know,
right.
so that's why we say, like, you know, like Rose said, you know, people are dying less of colorectal cancer, but we are seeing more, you know, we are seeing rates. You know, it's a very common cancer. And that's because of the great screenings. We have so many great screening tests now that people are getting more savvy and getting more, you know, they wanted to mm-hmm. take care of themselves, so they are seeing more yeah. tests.
And it's covered by health insurance.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the other, the Affordable Care Act made cancer screening, colorectal cancer, covered as part of what you pay for in your premiums.
Right, mm-hmm. right, which is good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another incentive to do it because you're not paying for it, you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Without copay or without deductible.
Yeah, right, right.
So in the right age range, Medicare mm-hmm. pays for it.
Right, right, exactly. Amanda,
yes,
your group, your Hunter and Mercer group,
mm-hmm.
do you publicize or try to publicize to the communities?
We do. We work closely.
You know
with,
what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. We market. We pub. Yeah. We work closely with our PR department at Hunter and Healthcare, and then in Mercer we have our partners who are marketing people as well. So we do through Facebook. We have a newsletter. We do email distributions, and we also go and do public speaking to community members. So parents, we speak with them. We speak with, you know, also like call it, you know, just certain age groups mm-hmm. that are getting close to the screening. We want to hit people who are getting close to the screening, right?
Okay.
So not kids,
right?
Not
right.
you know, not you know, groups in 90 years old, 80 years old. You know, we want to make sure. And then, of course, our coalition members are always promoting colorectal cancer screenings, you know, the colonoscopy, the FIT tests. And then we work closely with other programs like the NJ-SEED programs that give free screenings to uninsured and underinsured people in Hunterdon and Mercer County.
You mentioned the FIT test. What is that?
The fecal occult. So this is the one that Rose said, the blood stool test.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
it looks at the...
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't...
That's an annual.
That's the
yeah.
annual one. And again...
It's one of the annual tests that you can have. You right. can take home, take
okay.
a little brush, take a sample of what you've produced. Tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny right. sample. And then take it back for back to the doctor's office or send it to a lab for analysis and
right.
get results.
Okay, that's what you had mentioned before, but
yes.
I didn't
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
put the two together. Diet. Can diet affect your probability for colorectal cancer? Did I say that right?
You did.
Well, wow.
You did.
All
perfectly.
Right, I'm getting there.
Perfectly.
Jeez, maybe another 30 minutes, I'll learn how to say it. But can diet affect it or not affect it? Or
we think so. We really do think that diet in general, and there are things like, for example, not smoking. We know smoking increases the risk of all cancers, pretty much all cancers, and
right.
colorectal's in there. There's theories out there and some evidence that, you know, eating more vegetables, the Mediterranean-style diets, you know, higher in vegetables, less meat, is better for you and better for a healthy colon. And, you know, the total analysis on that is still not in yet, but we're going in that direction. And I don't think that's surprising to anyone.
Yeah.
No, but I think that that's pretty much what just about
everything
says. Absolutely. You know, cut back on the meat and, you know, of course, eat the stuff that I don't like. And, you know.
Well, we do our education. We, you know, we tell our community members you want to have at least 6 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, at least. You know, you want to get, some are saying 10 servings, but, you know, we really strive to do a healthy diet.
That's a lot of strawberries, blueberries, and bananas on cereal, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. And again, like, you know, Rosa, tobacco. Tobacco is the number one killer of more than suicides, homicides, car accidents. So it kills so many people directly or through cancer or other health issues.
Yeah. Well, I've got a touch of emphysema for smoking all those years, but I did quit 28 years ago.
Congratulations.
And, you know, but I still have to take Spiriva every morning, you know, especially in the winter, you know, in the summer and the spring, it doesn't, well, it's spring now, but it's not spring as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets closer to actually being spring and summer, mm-hmm. I don't need to use it as much. I may use it once a week or something, but in the winter, I use it every day. It's like, you know. But they tell me it's only a touch, and only a touch, but it's still, you know, if I go outside and, you know, shovel or something and, you know, I don't breathe, I'm gasping. You know, so, you know, but.
Yeah, the other factor in terms of diet is to try to maintain a healthy weight.
Yeah.
That's can be another factor that we're seeing increasingly. So anything to do that, and that's the healthier, you'll find healthier weight is easy to maintain with a diet high in vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
I know it's tough. I know it's tough.
I lost 155 pounds when I had to get my knees replaced. I had both my knees replaced, and they said that it would go a lot better if I lost the weight. They would do it without it, but it would go a lot better. So I put it off and I was losing weight. Now it's like it goes like I'm on a roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 pounds up, 4 pounds down, 5 pounds up, 2 pounds down, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, I figured, oh, well, at my age, we keep trying, but, you know. I my wife is very big. She reads all the labels on everything, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And smaller portions and, you know, that sort of thing.
That can make a big difference.
Even if you don't diet, even if you have smaller portions, it helps, I guess, you know,
absolutely,
from what people say.
Eliminating sugary drinks can be a huge, eliminating, you know.
Salt
is a big factor.
Yeah.
So you could take some little steps that can make a big difference and give yourself time.
Yeah.
So sometimes setting a goal for a year as opposed to next week.
Many
people set very ambitious goals for a short period of time and they don't work out. So setting a long-term goal can really help.
Yeah, I've limited myself to one cup of coffee in the morning. Mm. And, you know, I don't use salt on anything unless it's, you know, comes already in it, you know, whatever I'm eating. But I have quit using salt on anything. You
limiting
know.
Your alcohol intake. So
I don't drink.
You know,
healthy
drinking, you know, depending if you know, but to avoid binge drinking, avoid overuse of alcohol, that can be, that's found to be a contributor to cancers also, and colorectal cancer.
Right. I didn't realize alcohol.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Excess alcohol does nasty things to your body.
Well, I don't drink some. And I'm assuming, since we're talking, that it does have it is curable.
If you catch it early.
If you catch it early.
And it hasn't spread, yes.
Right.
Yes. That's why the colonoscopy, we really recommend. And if you go to any primary care physician in our delivery network, they will tell you at your wellness visit, have you been screened for colorectal cancer? Let me give you a referral. You know, it needs to be done if you haven't. And we send out reminders to people to be screened because it is the gold standard and it will stop the cancer.
Right.
You know, they will take out the polyps, you know, if they can. Mm-hmm. There's enough that they can take out or put you on a watch to make sure that they're not developing into cancer.
Right.
And that early detection, even if you have, and everybody's so afraid, you know, I'll be the one, but that early detection will save your life.
Yeah. You know, I know when I have it done, they say, well, do you want to watch? You know, you can look at it. No, I don't want to watch. I want to be asleep. I don't even want to know you're doing it, you know, let alone watch you do it, you know. But it's just ironic to me, you know, that all the technology nowadays, absolutely, you know, compared to what it was, you know, that, you know, you can watch them do it, you know. Like, well, some people may want to watch them. I don't. I certainly don't. But, you know, I have trouble just going there, you know, let alone watching it, you know. But, you know, it's, is it, and this may be a little off the wall, but is it like hereditary if you have it in your family, parents or?
There is a small percentage of people who have colorectal cancer. It's like 20 to 30% that it is hereditary. But the majority is not. The majority is around 70%. It could be, it's sporadic. It could be because of, it might be because of diet. It might be because of other you know, other health concerns. But there is a small percentage that you do, you might carry that hereditary gene. So it is important, like what Rose said, if your family, if you have a family member that has had colorectal cancer or other cancers, that your primary care physician knows about it. So they get, they have screening tools that they'll talk to you about and tell you, okay, you know, you need to go get screened. You're 45. It looks like, you know, for example, looks like your mom had it, your grandfather had it. You need to go see your primary care. Yeah. So these are conversations you need to tell your primary care physician.
That's why that wellness visit is so important, because the doctor can spend time with you to find out your family history.
Right.
You know, what did your mom die? You know, is your mom still alive? Not. What did they die from? So if you say you have a first-degree relative, very close relative, die of colon cancer, that puts you in a higher risk group. So your doctor, you talk to them, they may decide, well, you need to be screened at age 40, starting at age 40, depending on when that relative passed, compared to age 50, which is the normal population or an average population.
Okay.
So just because we put people for population health into buckets, everyone is still an individual. And your doctor's the best person to tease out your individual risk factors with you.
Right. You know, and they say X to X, you know, you should do this. But that doesn't mean if you're below X.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that you see it often, but I'm sure it could happen to people in their 20s.
It can. Yeah. It can. And one of the kind of disturbing trends we're seeing is more the occurrence of more colorectal cancer in younger individuals. Mm. And we really don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredibly disturbing. And we just had a meeting about this the other day, and it came up. We're trying. We don't have the scientific evidence yet to say why are younger people getting more colorectal cancer than they were before. But we can look for it. So we can encourage people to look for symptoms. You know, do you have blood in your stools?
Right.
Are your stools different than what they used to be? And try to encourage people, if you have these kinds of symptoms, don't like shrug it off.
Right.
Go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, get the annual test if you don't right away. You know, you can do these other, your doctor can do these other tests that can look for you before you get a colonoscopy to see if you're, you know, if you're going down in that direction or if you need a more invasive procedure. But young people need to be aware also that it's happening, and we don't know why yet. It could be diet related. It could be lifestyle related. Maybe we're sitting more than we need to. You know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We just don't know.
Well, I think part of the world is sitting more than they used to.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
you
know, job situations and such. I mean, computers and all that. Let me ask you, if you're, how do I word this? If you're diabetic, is your chances greater, the same as, or less than the average person?
I haven't seen anything with diabetes and related to colorectal cancer.
I haven't either.
I haven't seen it. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. It just, you know, colorectal cancer. We've seen it, and I think our cancer center, we've seen very healthy people diagnosed at an early age. And maybe they might have the gene. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen people with diabetes or cardiovascular disease more diagnosed with colorectal.
But you can have it if you have diabetes.
You can.
Yeah.
It doesn't discriminate. Yeah.
Right.
But there's no evidence that shows one disease is closer to the other.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. No, it does. I was just curious because, you know, sometimes they say, well, if you have this, you're more likely to get this, you know, you get X, you have more likely to get Y, you know.
Right.
So I was just curious if, you know, diabetics do, or people with heart conditions or whatever.
But we do say that the risk factors, we have to take care of those risk factors, like a healthy weight, you know, like regardless of what you might be prone to, diabetes, heart disease, a healthy weight is one thing to reduce all of these, you know, to maintaining eating more fruits and vegetables, less processed meats, you know, no tobacco. All those things are going to help regardless.
And all those things help in the long run. Your life
they do.
Too, you know,
they do.
Overall.
They do. Overall.
I hate to admit it, but they do. Mm-hmm. At least food. I'm not, you know, I agree with drinking, smoking and all that, but, you know, food sometimes, you know, let's face it, you know, even if you're dieting once in a while, you'd like to have a, you know, bunch of chocolate or an ice cream cone or something, you know.
Yeah, and once in a while is okay. It's all in the amount.
Right, right.
You know, you have.
Or how often.
How often. You know. It's frequency and your goals.
You know, and like you said before, if you have it in your family or if you're, you know, if it predetermined that, you know, previous members of your family had it, you should be more conscientious of the fact that you could have it also.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if a person doesn't know their family history, because there's a lot of people who don't, you know, other than maybe their mother and father, and beyond that they don't know. Should they be more cautious or more careful? Or
I think looking for symptoms and going for screening right at the age of 50. So where we do see colorectal cancer occurring, it's in that, you know, the younger group now that's startling. And then those right when they hit those earlier ones that fall into screening, the ones that are closer to 50. So if you don't know your family history, I would watch for symptoms, you know, blood in the stools, changes in patterns. And then go right at 50. When you hit 50, go. You know, schedule it. Schedule it when you're 49. So when you hit 50, you go in there, you have that original colonoscopy, you can see where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're at risk, the doctor will be able to tell you right away if you need more frequent surveillance for colorectal cancer.
Okay.
So that's the best way, is to be really proactive in understanding when you should go for screening, and to go right when you hit that age 50 and it's covered by your health insurance.
Okay.
Especially if you don't know your personal history.
And you feel that you should go earlier if you feel you might have quote-unquote symptoms?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely talk to your doctor, and then he or she could direct you.
Yeah, do not ignore signs that your body is telling you that something isn't quite right. That is never a good idea for any condition.
Right, well, for any condition, actually, you know.
Absolutely.
You know. Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunter Medical Center Hour, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com
Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Amanda Medina Forrester, who is with Hunterdon and Mercer County Regional Chronic Disease Coalition Coordinator. Wow, a mouthful and a half.
It is.
And Rose Pulley, who's the Hunterdon Healthcare Partners Population Health Director. And we've been talking about colon cancer and the signs and what we should do and shouldn't do and so on and so forth. And Amanda has a circular that she has in front of her that I want to ask her about. So if you'd like to talk about it, go ahead.
Sure. So the Hunterdon Seed, that's the Seed stands for Cancer Education Early Detection Program. So that's the program that gives free cancer screenings to underinsured and non-insured residents, Hunterdon County residents. And they're providing an education program for if you're 50 and up on colorectal cancer. So they'll be talking about the risk factors and screenings, nutrition. There's going to be a food demonstration from the New Jersey SNAP Ed. And we'll be also having a yoga demonstration. So this will be, it's going to be a very interactive program for community members. It's going to be in Lambertville Public School. That's 200 North Main Street in Lambertville from 6 to 7 on Wednesday, March 29th. So this Wednesday.
So this coming Wednesday.
This coming Wednesday in the evening from, from 6 to 7.
And it's going to be in Lambertville School?
Lambertville Public School. School. So
and
if you want to.
The address is?
It's 200 North Main Street, Lambertville.
Do you have to register?
Yes, I'm going to give the phone number.
Okay.
It's 908-237-5409.
Why don't you give it again? Then
sure.
You'll still be writing.
Sure. It's 908-237-5409.
Okay.
Yeah, so please come. It's going to be fun. You're going to get to learn a lot and eat some great food. And do some yoga.
And here you go. Go for yoga.
Go for yoga.
That's awesome. Do you have something you wanted to speak
about? I just wanted to say that it's important to carefully consider colorectal cancer screening. It can save your life. It may save your life. And if you need a physician, I have the number for our physician's referral line. So that's 908-806-9118. So 908-806-9118. Your primary care physician can help you. If you don't have one, the physician's referral line can help you find one in your area. Tell them where you live, what kind of physician, the male, female, that they can help you pick out a physician that matches what you want to, who you want to see. And then they can go over other screenings that you may need in addition to colorectal cancer and point you in the right direction and tell you what your risk factors are. That's really important to be knowledgeable. Also, you can go on to the Hunterdon Healthcare website, hunterdonhealthcare.org, or hunterdonhealthcarepartners.org. Also has some information that may be of use to you.
Now, the Hunterdon Healthcare Partners is what you do, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
What does it mean by population health? I don't understand what that is.
Because I look at groups of people and how healthy they are. So we look at one of the statistics I gather is what percentage of our patients has had colorectal cancer screening. And it turns out to be about 66% of our patients have been screened for colorectal cancer, which is good.
That's really good.
It's very good, but it's not great. I want great. Always wanted great. So we want to get even higher percentages of people to come in and be screened and to protect themselves from cancer. So I gather data like that about different patient populations, how many of our patients have diabetes, how many patients have well-managed diabetes, how many patients have hypertension, how many patients have had their screen for breast cancer. We look at statistics about patients on opioids, and how we're doing with that. So I look at data for groups of people, and then we try to bring it down to influence and impact individual patient care in a very positive way. So once we understand like how many people are getting colorectal cancer screenings, we focus in on those who haven't been in for reminders.
Okay.
That kind of thing. That's how we do population health.
My question, I guess, is we've talked a lot about colon cancer, but you mentioned breast cancer, and that is just astronomical as far as I'm concerned from a layperson's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Would you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. It's also important for women to be screened for breast cancer. There's a little bit of confusion out there about what age. So again, this is something you should have the conversation with your physician that you trust. So either your primary care physician or your OBGYN, your gynecologist, and see when they think you should go for screening and how often. I go every year, just personally.
Okay.
I go every year. I'm older, so...
You're not that older.
Yeah, I'm older. But thank you.
Yeah.
So really, talk to your physician about breast cancer screening. It's important to do. Our rates in New Jersey are not what I would want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's room for improvement. And again, it's
There's always room for improvement.
And again, it's another cancer. All these cancers, the earlier you detect it, and the options now for treatment, there's more options than there have ever been. There are screenings that you can do for genetic factors that we didn't have before.
Right.
So your doctor can tell you if you need that kind of genetic screening and counseling. So that can be a big factor in your decision on what to do if terms of screening, how often to be screened, and then what to do if they do detect breast cancer. But we really, every woman needs to be aware of that. And we need to influence it, our mothers, and we need to build this into our daughter's perception that screening for cancer is normal. It's what we do, just like we breathe.
Right.
Like we get into a car. We drive. We all get into a car, and we face a risk on the road every day.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's fine.
It's just like, I don't know, I guess years ago, nobody talked about it,
Right.
It was like, oh, you don't talk about that,
Mm-hmm.
And that's, keeping the secret, But now, my wife and I know so many people who have had breast cancer and had to have breasts removed and, because of the cancer and how it has spread to other parts of the body and so on and so forth. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, but I would love to see down the road a cure for all of it, because it just seems to take so many lives and causes so much pain and hell in people's life.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that's the direction we're going with vaccines against cancer. And there is one vaccine against cancer, the HPV vaccine against human papillomavirus. And given at the right stage in time, can really lessen your chances of developing cervical cancer. So that's important. So we're getting there. We have one. We wish we had them all.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
And then there are different
one
versions.
Is better than nothing.
One is better than none.
So,
that rates of that are going down also because of the vaccination.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
people need to, just understand it and make make an informed decision.
Absolutely, I agree. When you want to give the phone number again in case...
Sure. So the physician's referral line, if you need a primary care physician or a gastroenterologist or a gynecologist, anyone, the people here will be happy to help you find a physician in your area. The number is 908-806-9118.
And the website for the medical center?
Website for the medical center is huntertonhealthcare.org. Wonderful information on the website. It was recently designed. It looks beautiful now. Just go on it, click away. It's worth the time. A lot about prevention on it. You can see the pictures of the doctors on it now and the different services.
Yeah.
It's really worth the time to go in there and poke around a little bit and look at it.
Amanda, you want to give the phone number for your thing on Wednesday
for the program,
again?
Yeah, the 100 in Seed program. It's 908-237-5409.
And you're going to have good food.
We're
going to
have some good food from Snap Ed and then some yoga from one of our, actually, she's a partner in healing. She's a cancer survivor. And she volunteers at our cancer center in the chemo bay. And she's also a yoga instructor. So she's going to volunteer some of her time and teach us some meditation and easy breathing, you know. So it'll be fun. And then, of course, we'll have the education of risk factors, screenings, healthy diet.
And that's in Lamberville.
That's in Lamberville Public School.
Grammar School or Public School?
Lamberville Public School.
Public School.
Yeah, 200 North Main Street in Lambertville.
All right. Well, time has flown by. We have no minutes left. So I thank you so much, both of you, for coming. And
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
And
thank you for having us. It just, I think that what your work you're doing is awesome. And just keep it up.
Thank you so much for having us. I really do.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
See you again
next week,
same time, same station. And try to stay healthy, folks, and go get a screening for colon cancer and breast cancer.